Welcome to the Sage of Three Paths podcast. We are three brothers who use this space to talk about a range of topics, anything from politics, race, anime, and pop culture, each giving our own perspectives and opinions. I'm the youngest, Mo Janna, also known as Junior Lab.
I'm the oldest, Okello, but my brothers call me AJ.
Middle child, Oz, aka Wizard King.
We three brothers.
One sec. We once again thank you for tuning in and joining us on this sometimes cathartic journey. Let's dive right in.
Can we log into this dang thing to then open the drive?
Have you not got it on like automatic logins?
Dude, this whole laptop has just been resetting itself.
There's a new update. Isn't even the right... For Big Sur.
No, it's not even that, man. I changed like some of the master root folders on my user because it was spelt with lamb with a B and it was frustrating me.
How is lamb supposed to be spelled?
L-A-M?
L-A-M, yeah. L-A-M.
Yeah, I didn't even know. Like
all this time before it was L-A-M-B.
It was. I changed it.
Okay. This guy's chip out here. I see you, chip.
What is chip. It? It's like Chip Diddy Chip. Come on, man.
I said chipmunk.
Yeah. Why am I showing his name, right?
Chip. No, I just wanted to make it more true to myself rather than...
Yo, what was that about? The whole chipmunk thing. Sorry to interrupt you. Please finish yours and then let's come back to it. What's chipmunk?
No.
Chipmunk to chip. Why do you make that change?
What, chipmunk and chip?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to take you seriously?
Yeah, I can answer that. He got into the game when he was young. So it was kind of cute to be called chipmunk.
He had a high-pitched voice. It made sense.
But okay. When you're dealing with men and your name is chipmunk, you're asking to get smacked up.
Think about it. Not even that, bro. Think about it. You're getting called out on a show, right? And you've got some heavy hitters. I think at one point he was signed to Hustle Gang. Right,
elaborate on that. So, like, name some names.
You've got Ti. Ti. He's the main guy. I'm not.
That man in America.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not like well versed with who is in Hustle Gang. Man, I'm way far away from that at the moment. But yeah, imagine you're coming out to that show. You know, he did this track with Meek Mill, Pizza Boy. You know, you got Meek Mill. I'm gonna ride around in my ghost. Oh no, nah, right?
And then you got Chipmunk.
And you got and all the way from UK London, Chipmunk.
And then people asking, why'd you call yourself Chipmunk? When I was 13, it was kind of cool.
I had to go. So Chip, makes more sense. So yeah, I guess I can align with it a little bit.
Well, one for the junior lamb though, lamb B to lamb. Minus B.
So the lamb was like with the B. I just did it because it was like, oh, the play on the word. Oh, I need to be literal because if not, then they won't understand. Then I realized, I actually don't care about whether they understand or not. If they want to understand, they'll just ask me. Or if they don't get it, they don't get it.
I hear that.
But yeah, it was all about making it more personal because, L-A-M was for lamin, which is short for lamin. And yeah, I think whilst I was at university, the nickname came around a few times of calling me lamb. So I was just like, junior lamb, no B, take it away.
Okay,
I prefer junior lamb over junior lamb. I always had a love-hate relationship with the name.
With the B,
with the lamb, with the B, I always did. For me, it was a case of it's your pseudonym, your pen name. So, because it's yours, I got love for it. But the lamb itself always like even when you explained it to me, it was still like cool. But it has a lot of other ideals.
It was forced. I felt like I tried to.
You want me to put it down this way. But it's open to plenty of ways without you having to explain it.
Yeah. Misunderstanding, right? Sometimes you get too much information, or you give too much information, and it just, yeah, skewers people a little bit.
But before we go on, I just want to say on your side, Mo, what was you going to say? I stopped you. I was like, hang on.
Yeah, I was talking about people.
Facebook.
Let's go right back to this. So I talk about Facebook and yeah, well, okay, maybe simps is the wrong word. But the point I'm trying to make is the people that you, Facebook is now no longer, or the main purpose of Facebook is now no longer about, you know, connecting with people you know, your friends, or sharing anything like that. It's 100% for marketing. Like, it's a marketing hub, right? You have your own dashboard. You can create whatever. Even for, you know, Oz, you said, oh, we've got the podcast. The podcast has Facebook. 100%. Yeah. For marketing. We don't need it for nothing else. I think if you're an active contributor to the traditional Facebook community, which is you write posts about whatever it is you write posts about, you know, normally it's about, you know, personal opinions or topic. Most of the people that give their personal opinions are people that, I guess, have a lot of the same point of view, or I think Mercedes said this perfect the other day. I don't know how to pronounce it in German, but the English translation is, you know, like you have TV shows like Judge Rinder and what was the one that got cancelled? Jeremy Kyle, shows like that, right? They only play them shows during the day where they know that maybe people won't be at work. So it's directed to a specific audience. Hence why the people on that show were people that represented that specific audience, right?
Not trailer trash.
Wait, easy.
Easy.
I would say,
Mr. PC over here, bloody
before hell. Before you say, I would say that they represented the majority of working, a significant amount of working class English people.
Okay, and how does that take away from my statement of trailer trash?
Well, you're saying that a significant amount of the English working class are trailer trash.
He's jumping on the bandwagon. He's seen Meghan. Yo, he's seen Harry.
I might make myself a Facebook account and then do a rant about it.
It's my time.
Because that's what you need to realize, that Facebook is a platform. It's exactly what you're saying, but it's a platform for regular people.
Yeah.
Now, these regular people, they have all sorts of opinions and all sorts of crazy notions and ideas. This is why we get the crazy rants of, oh, F ninjas. And then that's it, full stop. Or 3 pages of scrolling down worth of just people. No, it's that button when you click read more. You've already read a large amount of text. Someone going on a rant. And then there's that button that says read more. You're like, damn. This person's serious about whatever they're talking about. It's just a platform.
This is why I had to leave Facebook. Mm.
How long have you been clean?
To say clean is very hard nowadays because Facebook is like a you know, what's an STD that you can catch but you can never get rid of?
Herpes.
Facebook is moving like herpes right now.
Herpes. I think social media in general is like it's like that STI you just can't shake.
Yeah. But this is the scary thing, right? Firstly, let's say the first top 3 used social media kind of apps, right? Facebook, Instagram,
and you're gonna say another one, WhatsApp.
Who owns all 3?
Facebook.
Yeah.
They are, it's actually a monster. If you really think about it.
Completely,
it's a monster
completely.
In the social media
the
world.
The founders of WhatsApp have left the company. The founders. Because one of their core beliefs was they wanted people to really like have their privacy and be secure. Facebook came like, yeah, we're not gonna change nothing. Then they, you know, they bought it and they started changing stuff. And these guys were like, hang on a minute.
So what's actually going on? Because WhatsApp, for me, has recently said that they're changing their policy. And I remember some months back, there was an uproar about it. and they delayed changing their policies. So what exactly is going on? Are you able to explain
that? So again, I can give you, yeah, high level, really, really high level, because I don't have the information about the details. But basically, the way Facebook works with its marketing is it uses your data and basically sells that. So wherever you've put in, and it's not just, oh, this is my profile and these are my posts. No, this thing is way smarter than that, right? It will look at, what did you click on before? What web page was you on before you joined? What did you click on to go outside of Facebook? What website did you type in afterwards? What other, you know, how long did you spend on this page? When you was reading this post and you had this advertisement here shown on the left, did you hover the mouse over it? You know,
what?
You
know,
listen.
Hey, we're talking about some CIA malarkey.
I'm telling you, yeah. I've had firsthand experience with some of the analytical software that's out there and available. And I've been shocked. I feel like I'm watching people on their computer screens live. And this is not me watching them live. This is just the data that is being collected and being able to recreate a video of that in real time. Can you imagine the capacity of that? So now you've got things like WhatsApp, right? And the privacy policy change in there. The thing that's happening is, and people are like, oh, you know, we still use the highest end-to-end encryption. Either way, they still know what links have been sent. So if you've, you know, we have our group chats and we send, you know, so many links to so many pages and maybe YouTube videos or funny image. They know all of those things. They know the links. They know who you've sent the links to. They know when you've clicked the link. They know how long you stayed on that video watching that link and when you came back to WhatsApp and who you maybe shared that. Yeah, all of that. They have all that information. And it's not just your information that they have. They have it to the people you send it to and all your contacts as well. And that's where the major brief in the privacy is there. They don't know exactly, you know, word for word what you're saying in the messages. The issue is they know what you're doing all around that. And because they have enough data, they can pretty much create a profile for you. And they use that and sell that to companies. And that's why, you know, you hear yourself maybe texting or you might send a voice message or you might type something to do with a specific topic. So let's say, for example, you talk about kites. Oh man, I flew a kite with, you know, so-and-so the other day. And then you go on your phone and you start seeing ads for kites and stuff like that. That's how they're doing it. They're catching you when you're not, it's not when you're using the app. It's when, you know, it's not just when you're using the app, sorry. It's when you've, before you've used it and after you've used it and who else, you know, you was talking to when they were using it. That's why for me, Facebook, I'm out. I can't say I've been clean, you know, completely because they do have ownership of Instagram and Facebook. Sorry, Instagram
and WhatsApp.
Instagram and WhatsApp, yeah. But from actual Facebook, I would say I've been free from Facebook for a good 5 years.
Free from Facebook for 5 years?
Yeah.
No posting?
I have not had a profile.
I hear you.
I've watched The Social Dilemma, you know?
Cool. But you're already complicit with them gathering all your information because you already said that you use Instagram and WhatsApp. So all they've done is got your information, your data via two means rather than three. They still got all your data regardless.
Yeah.
If you truly wanted to say that you're clean and you're cleansing and you're against The Social Dilemma, cut it all off.
Look at my...
And solely use it purely for marketing purposes and then lock it off.
Hence why... How easy is that? If you look at my Instagram, you see Junior Lam.
If you look
on my WhatsApp, it's also Lam. I don't have my own personal details there. Don't get me wrong. There's certain things that I know. For example, my real name. And I guess the connotation and link with Junior Lam, right?
How
I know that's
out there.
How
did you make your WhatsApp account? Did you not put your mobile number in there?
No, you did. Yeah, of course.
So they've got your mobile number.
No, but this is what I'm saying.
All the calls you make, how are you calling people? Is it not through WhatsApp?
Yeah.
If you had to call Mama G, what method of call are you going to be using?
That's the point, though.
You're not going to be using Telegram.
That's the point.
Just so you're under the radar.
No, that's the point, though. I do want to do that. The only reason I'm on WhatsApp, honestly, I'll be real. The only reason that I have been using WhatsApp is for the family group chat. And even then, I'm pretty sure I've already, said a couple of times, guys, we should move to something else.
No,
I haven't said that.
You haven't said it to me.
No. However, you did hook me up with that Brave internet
browser.
Yeah. Guys, privacy is a big deal. Like, this thing is winning and turning elections. You know,
I'm aware of that.
It's making a huge impact on society. And I think, Oz, you're completely right. You know, maybe they already have my phone number. And they already
You're already
have
complicit.
Well, they 100% already
You're already
have
complicit.
In fact, I don't think there's anything you really could do as long as you're using technology to be free. And I'm not just talking about the Facebook group.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I completely agree with that. However, you know, just because they have this on you, does that mean it's like, oh well, that's it, there's no point in, you know, doing anything else, they've already got my number, they've already got my name? It's like that. I think that's the wrong mentality that people have, because that's when they just start taking the piss.
So I personally think that's the mindset of the majority, and these people have already been taking the piss. I don't think, like,
exactly
what you're saying to me, Mo, is not something that anyone that the average person doesn't know. But the average person at the same time, you know, I'm playing Final Fantasy VII Remake at the moment. And
why you stopped playing Ghost of Tsushima.
Ghost of Tsushima, I give like a 6, 7 out of 10. I give it a 6, 7
I
out
know.
Of 10.
After he was banging the game. After.
Yeah.
Damn.
No, but obviously you only come to a rating after you put a considerable amount of hours in a game. You know, relatively early on in Ghost of Tsushima, I was saying how, like, I played enough to start to see bugs. And that can be annoying. But I digress. I believe the majority of people, they understand on some level that they've given up some of their privacy by the use of technology. And I think that's not anything new. I think even before the internet was invented, that's been the case. People understood that as technology advances, there are some freedoms, such as freedom to privacy, that we are giving up willingly.
Yeah.
And the people who take, or the ones who are able to use our, you know, the door into our privacy through whatever their technology is, they're going to make a lot of money from it. And in some ways, they kind of rule us. I think that's nothing new. I think it's always been like that. And I don't know if saying, oh, well, that's the wrong mentality. Agreed. But that's the mentality of the majority. It was Elon Musk who I picked this up from in his interview discussion with Joe Rogan. He was like, the thing is, technology advances quicker than we can pass laws to accommodate. So it's a case of, even when you do legislate to try and protect people. So if you look at the GDPR rules that was done in the EU, which is the General Data Protection Rights Act, something like that. You look at that, it's like that only protects Europeans. And even the way it's set to protect you, it's like, if you're not careful, these websites are doing everything they can for you to still slip up. So you still give consent for them to do all the shiesty.
How many times have you gone onto a webpage, right? Today, because I know you've used your computer. How many times have you gone on a web page? Let's not say today. Let's say in the past week.
Dude, I can think of a time I was on the work laptop, and I had to open a page, and the first thing it said to me was, "Yo, we got cookies here. You good if we?"
Do you want some cookies?
You either accept it or what?
You got it. Or denying, you can't.
No, you no. It. It's not just denying.
I couldn't see the denial.
You don't have the option to deny. You have the option to. You either accept or you configure your own cookie settings. Who on this world knows how to configure cookie settings?
I've been doing it since the GDPR act has been published. Actually,
yeah,
I've been doing it. I've been configuring. However, what I'm seeing more and more is they make it more and more difficult for you to actually configure it and save it. And it's little things. It'll be like the save button or the accept button will be in green. And the save my choices button will be grayed out. So instantly your attention is just drawn to that, you know.
It's all UX, man. It's all user experience and design. There's people that get paid a lot. And I can say this from, you know, personal industry experience. I've worked with these people. I've had conversations. There's people that get paid a lot of money to make it as difficult as possible for you to get or for you to do, you know, what you have the right to do.
Mm. Yeah, for sure. So it comes back to, although legislation does catch up, all that happens is there's new ways of taken away or getting into our privacy. And I don't think that's ever going to stop. I really don't. I think it's inevitable. I think we're on a, it's like a roller coaster. The roller coaster's not going to go backwards. Once it's started to move forward and it's programmed to move forward, there's no way to stop this. There's no law that's going to be passed in one country that's going to make all the things that Facebook's doing. And, you know, Facebook's obviously just the example. I'm not even speaking bad about Facebook. I'm just saying it is what it is.
Mm.
Facebook's not doing anything new in terms of providing a service where it's, you know, it's basically a Faustian deal, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's quite interesting. It's it links quite closely to the idea of tribalism or being a part of a tribe. Now, one of the main reasons why people aren't so reluctant to part with their privacy or private information about them is to be a part of that tribe.
Mm.
The reason why people, the first thing they do, they roll out of bed, they open up their phone, almost instinctively, they go onto Instagram, they start scrolling, they refresh the page, scroll some more. That, you're part of that tribe, you're part of those things that you believe that are close to you or you just want the clout or whatever. You search for all these things, you join all these groups. It's all down to tribalism at the end of the day. And that's something that, as you guys are saying, that predates Facebook.
Yeah.
That predates the internet. That predates, hell, first men.
Welcome to the Sage of Three Paths podcast. We are three brothers who use this space to talk about a range of topics. Anything from politics, race, anime, and pop culture. Each giving our own perspectives and opinions. I'm the youngest, Mo Janna, also known as Junior Lab.
I'm the oldest, Okello, but my brothers call me AJ.
Middle child, Oz, aka Wizard King.
I was going to say, on the topic of tribalism, what does that word even mean to you guys? What does that word mean?
I don't know, man. For me, I wouldn't particularly use tribalism as a link to, I guess, what we're talking about. And, you know, people feeling like they need to be a part of something. I would say personally, you know, for that point, I think it's just FOMO, you know, people that have fear of missing out. I think people nowadays and people in society, and I don't want this to sound like a rant, right? But it's a little bit of a rant. I just feel like people nowadays, they're lost. They're lost in the sauce, right? Because they're lost in the sauce, they're not actually the chef that's cooking. They're like, well, I'm just gonna be swimming in the sauce then. This is why you stay in the pot and you just get eaten, because all you're doing is going with the flow. And I will go back to the tribalism, but I just wanted to kind of make this point. I agree with you, AJ. You know, I completely, wholeheartedly agree with you and Oz. It's not something that is new. It's something that's, you know, been... It predates us way, way, way back in the past. Way back in the past. But does that mean that it's okay? Does that mean that we should just go with the flow? You know, shrug our shoulders and say, well, either way, you know, this is something that, you know, our ancestors have been, had to deal with and accept. So we should just accept it. We don't just accept and go with the flow.
How many of your family members just accept and go with the flow? Isn't that like our family motto? Just to many respects.
No.
Shout out all the fam, but there's a lot of people. We're hardworking ninjas. I tell you that. We're hardworking ninjas out here. But a lot of us have quite a laissez-faire approach to a lot of things. And we're known for being quite slow with our progression. Progression nonetheless, but slow for sure. Unless we put our heads down to sort out a serious issue to get it done.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from with that. I don't know. I think we obviously tribalism. Let me go into the point of what tribalism means to me. Tribalism is a non-Western, and I do want to say specifically an African concept of community. And that community involves things like, you know, religion or beliefs. I think it involves culture. Yeah, and I just think what those community of people believe is important, and they kind of live their life by those things or those rules. That's what, for me, tribalism is. I think it has more natural roots to Africa. That's my personal opinion.
What about you, AJ? I'm curious.
I mean, to start off, for me, I guess I just want to say that I'm completely in disagreement with Mo for it being a uniquely African experience, tribalism. Because for me, tribalism takes many different forms, but it is at its core, it's just a group of people. And there's two tribes I've come across recently, digital tribes. The first one was Nine Gag, which Oz, you showed me, and you got me on it, and I liked Nine Gag. It was cool. But one thing that I kept noticing was how they would call themselves gaggers.
Nine gaggers.
Yeah. They would call themselves, they would actively be like, oh yeah, we're Nine Gaggers. On this platform, we do this, and you know, oh, you're in Nine Gag territory now. Which
front up gang signs.
Cool. Which for me was weird, because obviously I'm coming from Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So that no one's like, oh, you're with the Facebook crew, with the Facebook gang. But it was cool. And it was cool to see the community and how there's the sense of belonging, and they were somewhat quite welcoming from, you know, the little I saw. Because it's extensive, it's huge, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the second tribe I came across was what you showed me, Mo, which was the Reddit.
Reddit.
And you see it quite clear and quite straight away that they consider themselves a tribe, like the Reddit tribe. Quite literally, I think the Reddit tribe is a perfect description of how they see themselves, and like they talk in a way where it's like, it's us. It's crazy, because it's such a, it brings people together. It's just groups of people, isn't it? So for me, if I think of tribalism, I just think of a group of people, and I've always been a person in my own personal life who had issues fitting in. So this was from like school, you know, school days, where when I was growing up in the town that we, obviously Northampton, the town that we grew up in, you know, when I was in school, when I was a kid, there weren't that many black kids around.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to say, oh, you need to go to a place where there's loads of the same people of colour as you. But it was just a case of, I knew I didn't belong because in particular, my peers wanted and expected, and I did, wanted me to be a certain person to fit into the tribe. But deep down, I was never that guy. You know, they wanted me to be the cool black guy and who can dance, who can rap and stuff. I can't dance. I can't rap. I'm not very cool. Well, I'm cool if you think this we share the same interests, but I'm not like, you know, slick dick cool out there. I've always not fit in. And then that helped me become an independent person, a person who just does his own thing. You know, I for me, one of the best things I learned was just be yourself. If people like you for who you are, they'll chill with you and everything's good. And if they don't, you both don't have to waste each other's time, which is probably a natural lesson which people learn as they grow up. But because of that experience, it very much got to the point where now when I see tribes, although I can appreciate how it's it can bring people together, I can see the dangers, big dangers, of just blindly saying I'm with the tribe.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yes, yeah, so that's my...
I'm in the same vein as AJ to say that tribes can exist everywhere. Like, if you think of the depth of that, again, I've said it before, predates the first men. Like, the first men who came had to start a tribe. You had to form your family unit in order to find a way to survive.
It increases your chance of survival.
Exactly, exactly. I think that's almost inherent with human beings. We do seek tribes in for comfort, for survival, for pleasure. Like, what did we watch the other day? We watched some show about swingers. Even we showed you, Mo. Now, that's a tribe in itself.
Yeah.
People, whatever their background is, whatever destruction has happened in their life, whatever goodness has happened in their life, they've found a path in all for them to feel happy. And the path that they're on has led them down to swinging. Hey, it doesn't work for everybody, but I'm telling you, there's a tribe out there for everyone. Even the loners themselves. The loners have their own tribe because you're part of the loners. Someone who you have an affinity with in terms of a spiritual, an emotional connection with. Yeah. But it's quite interesting. Like, the surface level of that question of what does tribe mean to you, it could be said that, say, we split our heritage and our background to Mendes and the Sosos. Very surface level, because it goes deeper than that. The roots are close to the core of the earth. It's crazy. Did you guys notice such a difference in tribes growing up? Or is it now that we're in our adult lives, we can actually have coherent, conscious conversations about it to be like, oh, this was my experience of it growing up, or be able to formulate different notions in your head?
I think for me... And you guys have both raised some really good points. I think I was looking at it from the lens of personally my own experience or relation to it. But now that we are talking about that, I think my own personal link or distinction.
Changing his answer.
No, but
that's okay. It's all about growth. If you're having a conversation with someone and you're not in some way, shape or form growing, then you're just kind of talking to the wall.
Absolutely, man.
So I don't think there's anything bad if you have changed. I'm not saying you have, but perhaps you see something a bit differently due to what we've said, and absolutely. I welcome that.
And you know what, I said this today to my girl, right? I said to her, we had a conversation about something in the house, and I guess we had two different opinions about how or what is the priority to get done, right? And very rightly, she did make a point, well, you know, XYZ was this plan, so this should be the priority. And I had no shame, no issue to be like, you're right. I was wrong and you're right. And that's something that, you know, I really want to advocate. I think it's something that people just don't do, period. People hate admitting that they're wrong, or admitting that maybe their viewpoint was incorrect, or they may change their opinion because they've now learned something new. I'm 100% for that. I don't mind being wrong. You know, I was always the guy that, you know, this is going to be a stupid question. Well, I'm going to ask the question. You know, I don't mind. I did it in school and I'll do it continuously in life. So, yeah.
Well, I just want to say, most people are wrong all the time.
It's okay to be wrong. It's okay to admit you're wrong all the time.
Yeah, it's
just
cool.
Be real.
Most people are normally wrong all the time. It's very few times that we're absolutely right about something throughout the course of our lives. So it's okay. Chill.
Yeah.
It doesn't make you any less of a person. If anything, you can dispose of whatever useless ideal you had before and adopt one which is stronger until that, you know, it's all about continual growth until you kick the bucket, right?
Yeah, I would love to see, you know, a debate going on Facebook with that tribe of people. Sorry, I'd love to see a debate going on Facebook with that tribe of people, and maybe someone, they've given forward like a really strong opinion. And in the comments, I want to be able to go down and see more and see them say, actually, do you know what? You're right, and I was wrong. But that would never happen because Facebook is for simps. But to go,
no, you're just throwing it out.
I'm
there,
just trying to boycott Facebook. That's it. I'm for the people. I'm the junior lamb, you know, with the B.
Facebook would argue the same. They're for the people.
No, Facebook. Yeah, Facebook are for their pockets.
Actually, I just want to say that I'm for my pockets as well. So if Facebook wants to like do sponsors and stuff, you know, don't listen to this guy.
We out here.
Facebook.
Yeah. Fake it till you make it, right? We're gonna get it. Oh, you changed your opinion. You said that you liked us.
Yeah.
Growth, baby.
Yeah, they better grow the community. But
we out here with growth.
But I have gone on a bit of a tangent, right? But a clear distinction for me when it came to the tribes of Mende and Soso was religion. I think that was the clear distinction for me when I was younger. You know, the whole Soso side of the family was Muslim. The whole Mende side of the family that I knew was Christian or Catholic, you know. So it was a case of that was a clear distinction for me. And because of that, you know, there's certain practices or certain values which, or lifestyles, which were just a bit different. So for me, I was able to clearly make the distinction through that.
Do you know, Mo, it may be worth for the viewers just to explain exactly.
So, yeah, our family or our background is split in or comes from two different tribes, right? So we have the Soso Madingo tribe, right, which is from our father's side. And we have the Mende tribe, which is from our mother's side. I think traditionally, and AJ, correct me if I'm wrong on this, you know, you're the one that's going to give me or correct the facts. Mendes, traditionally in history, were normally the traders.
No.
So they were the ones that were very good at
trade. The Soso Mandingos. The Soso Mandingos were traders and warriors. They were both very good at trade. They do business. They whatever type of market, that's where they traditionally would have been. Yes, very much.
They were the merchants.
Whereas the Mendes were very much a ruling class. Yes, very, very much. So even if we go back to like colonial days, it was, I don't want to say this too heavily, but the Mendes were predominantly put in positions of power where possible. Because their drive, and this for me was the distinctions between the two tribes, which I may not have noticed so much as a kid, but as an adult, it's like, okay, it's because you guys, they have different value systems. They value things differently. Whereas the Mendes will value, let's say, education more so. that might not be the same for Soso Mandingo family, who would focus more on business. So for me, I mean, you just look at it from dad and mum. Like, mum's got a degree, and dad dropped out of school when he was like 16. So, you know, you can see the value system of each tribe through our parents. In fact, right now, in Sierra Leone, the ruling party, and this is quite a weird thing I've, you know, becoming more accustomed to when it comes to African politics. Elections are won if your tribe is able to go out and vote. Basically, your tribe will win for you. And if you've got a small tribe, you better be making deals with the bigger tribes. Otherwise, you ain't gonna... It doesn't work. So right now, it's a Mende tribe that's in power in Sierra Leone.
And who's that? The SLPP?
Yeah.
Sierra Leone's People's Party?
Yes.
Yeah, mad.
Yeah.
Mad. We would hear the acronyms of political parties thrown around the house growing up, but we didn't really understand the depth of that battle that's been going on between the two main parties and all the other ones as well. What's APC stand for? Africa's People's Party.
Yeah, I only know People's
Party.
I think all
which are the party. Two main political powers in Sierra Leone currently.
Do you guys know if one of them represents the left or the right of the political spectrum?
Tribes.
I hear you. So it's a totally different ballgame altogether.
But saying that is quite silly, because essentially the left and the right here in the West are two tribes.
Yeah.
So if we said more so ethnic tribes, tribes relating to people's ethnicities.
Mm.
And arguably, the APC are more conservative and SLPP are more liberal, arguably. And that may have its roots in APC, because I believe it's the Timini tribe, which is another tribe in Sierra Leone, one of the other main tribes in Sierra Leone, are predominantly Muslim. I may be wrong there, but I believe that's the case. So they're more conservative with their views.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas SLPP, the Mende tribe, which I believe, again, I could be wrong, are predominantly Christian.
Mm.
So as it's modern Christian, it's a bit more liberal than modern Islam. However, one of the best things about Sierra Leone, and it's been with whoever has been in power, as far as my knowledge goes, it's the country with the most religious tolerance. And, you know, you just look at us. Dad comes from a very Muslim family. I mean, his father, our grandfather, was a treasurer to a mosque. So he had a senior position in the mosque. Whereas, you know, grandma from mum's side, she made sure we knew the Lord's Prayer, that we'd pray every night, and we went to church, and we went to Bible studies, and stuff like that. So it was those things growing up, which we may not have noticed it before, like because we're not really told that there's a difference. Because, and I see this as both religions are foreign entities in Africa anyway. These religions didn't develop there. So it's essentially two separate branches coming and saying, this is the right religion, this is the right religion. And Sierra Leonean people being like, all right, cool, either one of them is the right religion, and just do your thing and be cool with everyone. No beef.
Mm.
Which I really appreciate about Sierra Leone. Like, there's it's quite common for Christians and Muslims to marry, and no one has any issues.
Hey, Okello here. This section is a space where we'll be sharing short stories, creative experiences, and art. This week, I'll be telling you about the tale of Sengbe Pe the Gallant.
The Tale of Saint Vipere the Gallant Part 5. The two Spaniards claimed that the Africans had been born in Cuba and were already slaves at the time of their purchase, and were therefore legal property. Interpreters from Mende to English were found who enabled the Africans to tell their story to attorneys and the court. Pierre served as the group's informal representative.
With calmness and stillness, it comes to an end. We hope you found some gems and go away richer in soul and spirit. We're showing you the three paths of the sage. Your path is your own. Which path do you follow? Until next time.